This is Steve Sherlock for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. We've got the town council meeting of Wednesday, April 10th, split into two parts to make it a little bit easier for listening. The meeting ran approximately 4 hours. So part one covers the first hour of the meeting and then skips to cover the last 30 or so minutes of the meeting. The show notes include the different sections in that first hour, and then the balance of the meeting as they close out and enter executive session not to return. The 2.5 hour part two covers the entire section around the proposed friendly 40B development of the Stobart's Nursery, including all the conversation around the proposal.
That's a good thing, too. Good evening. Time being 7 o'clock, I call the April 10th, 2024 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Announcements from the chair, a note to residents, all citizens are welcome to attend public meetings in person, to view the live meeting remotely. Citizens are encouraged to watch the live stream on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel or the live broadcast on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. Meetings are also archived by Franklin TV on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel and shown on repeat on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. For those who missed the live meetings, to participate in the meeting remotely, citizens are able to join a Zoom webinar using the information provided on the agenda on the town website. I'll quickly go through them. The webinar ID is 826-9683-9444. And there is a link on the town website as well to click on and go. Participants who wish to speak during the webinar must enter their full name and email address when joining the webinar. All participants will be automatically muted upon joining the webinar. In order to speak, participants who have entered full name and email address will need to select the raise hand function to request to be unmuted. All speakers will be required to state their full name and address before commenting. The other announcement from the chair is Councilor Frangillo is participating remotely this evening, so he'll be on Zoom. And upcoming events, the Town Council office hours will be held April 18th from 8:30 to 9:30 at the Senior Center. The next Town Council meeting will be a joint meeting with the school committee. It will take place at the Franklin High School Auditorium on April 24th at 7 p.m. Okay, that's all the announcements from the chair. We'll now move on to citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 3 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Mark, please come forward. Just Name and address, please.
Thank you. Mark Minichelli, 31 Longfellow Drive in Franklin here. I just would like to address briefly the position of the sustainability coordinator that was in the current budget that I understand perhaps has been pulled out. I completely understand that we're in a difficult situation regarding budget this year, and I fully support fully funding the schools. However, in addition to that, I just want to make a comment about what I believe the sustainability coordinator can bring to the town. I believe that given some time, and I don't know how much time, but some time, that sustainability coordinator position will more than pay for itself in the ability to bring grants in to our town. So I'm not equipped today to show data for that, but I think maybe myself and a few other citizens can pull together some data from other towns where we can show you some proof that position will be able to sustain itself and perhaps even bring in more funds than it costs. So I just wanted to share that with the council tonight.
Thank you, Mark. Is there anyone else in council chambers? Paul, just name and address, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul Schaff, 6 Carpenter Drive. I addressed the council last time on the budget dilemma that we're facing. I just want to reiterate, there was $350,000 taken away from the school department in 2011 because of a 1% raise that was delivered that year. $525 was taken away the year after for that 1% raise. The town administrators have talked consistently about shortfalls, particularly in the budget side of the school department. I've grown up and been educated in this community. I've worked in public safety in our community for 35 years and seen the current budget situation repeat itself time after time. It's the same movie. It's a repeat every 7 to 10 years or so. Different cast members, same storyline. When the budget problems arise, they arrive in the same fashion and have similar approaches. In the 80s and 90s, it was we're all in this together. Today, it's one Franklin. My personal observation is that these cliches and sayings only seem to arise when the school committee acts in their own self-interests and votes on those self-interests and emotions rather than financial realities and fiduciary responsibility. When we sign contracts that we know are unaffordable, we'll just hit up everyone for the money and claim it's in everyone's best interest. We're all in this together. One Franklin. 2011, 2017, 18, 19, 21, 22, 23. Over and over again, our town administrators have rung the bell in the crow's nest of the ship, screaming, iceberg dead ahead. With the school committee screaming, full steam ahead. In all those years, I never heard we're all in this together. One Franklin. Most notably, the school committee is operating in a bubble, ignoring financial forecasts and reality. And most recently, doubled down, voting pay increases over and above what's affordable. Votes are taken are almost a poke in the eye at every other municipal employee and department. If other municipal departments had the ability to completely ignore financial realities and provide raises over and above what's financially responsible and prudent, what would the response be? One Franklin? We're all in this together? I don't think so. The facts, figures, financial forecasts, and professional guidances are given and ignored and not acted upon. I reiterate now what I said at the Capitol meeting. Since 2008, the school department has lost a total of 28% of the student population. That's one-third of their enrollment. By their own numbers, the school department sees a decline of 100 to 150 students per year at a cost of $17,000 per student, figures from them. That's $1.7 million. That's on the low side. We closed the school building. By the time it finally closed, that was long overdue. We've been talking about redistricting for years. Nothing's been done. I would like anyone to name an organization that loses business by one-third, 30%, yet requires significant increases to its operating budget. My property and taxes increased $1,500 this year. The new Tri-County school debt has not hit my tax rate yet. In 2021, we added the Community Preservation Act, adding 3% to the real estate levy on our increase.
Paul, you're over the 3 minutes, so finish your thought.
Okay. Sewer rates went up 20%. And we'll go up another 15% next year, 10% year after for 45%. Water rates are expected to increase 8% this year, 8 next year, 8 the year after, for 24%, for a combined increase of 69%. That's two-thirds.
I can't let you keep going, Paul.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Please come forward, Maureen. Name and address, please.
Maureen Sullivan. I am the owner and resident at 871 King Street, also 553 Washington Street. That corner, there's issues. Don't keep ignoring it. There are issues there now that are deadly. I personally know how a life can be decapitated, literally. Now, you're allowing this to take down a building, to put in 400 more trucks than are there today. Get real. Get real. Get real. Get serious. I came in here the night before the election, the Wednesday before the election, and said, please don't let this planning board do this. And you told me election day you didn't think I was serious. I am so very serious. These trucks are backing in to my driveway that the town allowed to be a steep. They've chipped into it. Where are they going to back into? They can't back up that ridiculous driveway. It's just the cars coming up King Street. If there's no trucks coming out, they go around that little island. You're going to take that out, though, and that's going to be safer somehow. Godspeed, Franklin. Godspeed. Take care of this situation. It's ridiculous. I don't want anyone in this room, any of you people, anybody here, to call someone up and say, we're sorry, ma'am. Your child is gone because their head was ripped off from the back of a 53-foot truck. Well, which one was it? Was it the first 300 that are already there today? Or is it going to be the 708? Exactly. And you're filtering this into a bottleneck situation. It's ridiculous. Our self-proclaimed king of potholes, you have an open invitation to drive your Royal Highness up and down King Street as many times as you would like. And I guarantee you, the potholes in front of my neighbor's house across the street that are so very noisy since UPS moved in. Now UPS is coming out of Grove Street and you went, tax money, tax money. There is a law that is your law that you are allowing them to break by coming out Grove Street. They're not supposed to come out Grove Street onto Washington. They're supposed to go 140. Please, at least follow your own rules. I'm serious. Everybody else, get serious.
Thank you, Maureen.
She's right.
Okay, is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda?
Dave.
Please come forward, name and address. Please, Dave.
Thanks,
Dave. Dave and Dave.
Couple of days. This being Dave Callahan, 30 Plain Street.
Dave McNeil, 85 Cross Street.
First, I want to thank you for your time and dedication to our wonderful community. And as we collectively face the financial challenges ahead, it's imperative to realize the stark reality that the town of Franklin is grappling with a $10.1 million shortfall, and the school department will need $9.3 million increase in fiscal year 2025. $7.3 million just to maintain current service levels, and an additional $2.1 million to stabilize and partially restore from cuts that were made last year. In an effort to fund the school budget, there's been a reliance on temporary measures, such as one-time investments, deferred projects, and depletion of reserve accounts. However, these strategies obscure the reality. The annual cost of educating students has risen far beyond what a 2.5% increase can accommodate. Yesterday, the school committee voted to approve the FY25 school budget in the amount of $81,319,261. We're asking for the town council's support to fully fund this budget that addresses a $9.3 million increase, up to and including initiating an operational override for the community to vote upon as a ballot question in time to fund the FY25 budget. We recognize the economic impact that this request has on our community, and it's not a decision taken lightly. However, there are consequences of inaction. Without intervention, we can anticipate a future of continued layoffs, overcrowded classrooms, rising user fees, a pay-to-play system for athletics, and a general decline in services across the board. Fully funding the school committee's approved FY25 school budget will stabilize our budget moving forward, allowing the school district to maintain appropriate class sizes, provide much-needed mental health support, keep up with rising cost drivers and obligations, and continue to provide the host of educational services this community has come to expect. Moreover, the school committee can transition from a reactive budgeting approach to one that enables them to proactively implement meaningful change that will result in a sustainable budget, fostering agility and efficiency in delivering education in the years to come. Thank you once again for your dedicated service to all the residents of Franklin and the betterment of our community. We look forward to our open dialogue and collaboration with you towards a common goal of making Franklin the most vibrant community that it can be. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Dave. And Dave. Okay, is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Okay, is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda?
I don't see anybody, Tommy.
You see anybody, Ames?
No.
Okay, moving on. Approval of minutes. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from March 13th, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Additions, deletions. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. It's a roll call vote. Clerk will read the roll.
He's on Zoom.
Yeah.
Sheridan?
Yes.
Cormier Ledger?
Yes.
Frangillo?
Yes.
Chandler?
Yes.
Hamblin?
Yes.
Pellegrini?
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair?
Yes.
Chair?
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Okay. Moving on, proclamations, recognitions. We have none this evening. We do have one appointment, the Design Review Commission, Priya Nardigan. Clerk will read the appointment. Is she here?
Yep.
We'll let him read the appointment first.
Did he get the name right first?
Yes.
Okay.
I practiced.
It's good because you gave me some insights. Appointments for Design Review Commission, Priya Natajan of 8 Mary Ann Drive, Franklin, Massachusetts, 02038. The Design Review Commission has recommended the appointment of Priya Natajan to serve as an associate member of the Design Review Commission with the term to expire on June 30th, 2024. This is a motion to appoint by the town administrator Priya Natajan to serve as an associate member of the Design Review Commission.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Jamie.
I just want to thank Priya for stepping up to the plate. She's going to become an expert very quickly on signs in Franklin. So we're very
everything you
for her
ever wanted
to
know
plate.
About signs, you will learn.
She's going to be the leader of signs pretty soon. So we're very thankful for volunteering on behalf of the community. Thank you very much, Priya.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions or comments from the council? Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, thank you for stepping up and joining the Design Review Commission. I read your resume. Boy, you're really jumping right into local community efforts and helping out in town. You've already done such great things based off your resume. Thank you for taking on this role.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion to approve Priya Nardigan for her appointment to the Design Review Commission. Clerk will call the roll.
Cormier Ledger.
Yes.
Sheridan.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Pellegrini.
Yes.
Himmelin.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Congratulations. Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda, we have a couple of public hearings this evening. The first public hearing is on license modification, change of officers, and change of stock interest of a Section 15 retail package store license, Table and Vine Incorporated, located at 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Mass. I would declare that public hearing open. And where it is a public hearing, I would, are they here this evening?
Anyone here?
This is
the first one on the stock options is the stock of interest, item A, Table and Vine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
Table and Vine. Is that Michael Gold? I think Michael might be on Zoom.
Okay, I'll promote him.
Michael?
No.
Michael, is that you for Table and Vine?
All right, thank you. I was raising my hand.
Yeah, we're getting used to the new system. Thank you.
Just couldn't quite see it, Michael.
That's fine.
Okay. Michael, do you have any opening statement or?
I'm happy to give you a little summary of where we are.
Please.
So, good evening. I'm Michael Gold. I'm here on behalf of Table and Vine and Big White Foods. And as I believe you all know, Table and Vine is a wholly owned subsidiary of Big White Foods. And as a result of this ownership structure, we're required to obtain approval from the various local licensing authorities and the ABCC when there's a transfer of stock interest in Big Y. And by way of background, in 2020, I came to you when the then only two shareholders of Big Y, Donald DeMore and Charlie DeMore, second generation family owners, established trust for the benefit of their adult children who were working in the business, transferred shares into those trusts, and I received approval from the town and the ABCC for those transactions. So I'm here again because there was more estate planning by those same two individuals, sort of rearranging deck chairs among all the same parties. Those same two individual shareholders made additional stock transfers for the benefit of the same children. And similar to 2020, the ABCC suggested we follow what they call an inverted filing process. And we went to the ABCC first, and I believe you received a letter from Ralph Sacramone of the ABCC approving the transactions, of course, subject to your approval as well. So, high level summarizing the transactions. Donald and Charlie DeMore, who were those individual shareholders, they transferred additional non-voting Big Y shares into those same trusts I mentioned for the same children, for third generation family owners. At the same time, Donald DeMore transferred his voting shares to his son Michael, who's also one of those individuals, and Michael's an officer and director of Table and Vine and Big Y. And then Charlie DeMore and Michael DeMore transferred all of their voting shares of Big Y into a voting trust they established, and they are the only trustees and the only beneficiaries. Again, these are all estate planning moves to make sure that the family controls business and continues, you know, for generations to come. We had a couple other related changes to the officers and directors. Charlie DeMore and Claire DeMore Daly have resigned as officers and directors. And the new additions to the officer and director ranks are Christian DeMore and Nicole DeMore Schneider. Their children, they're both existing trust beneficiaries and current directors of Big Y. Just mention that there's only one person in all of this paperwork that is new to the party. He's a trustee of the Donald DeMore Gifting Trust. His name's Todd Schneider. He's Donald's son-in-law. So, that's it. I know there's lots of documentation. Pretty simple like that.
Jamie?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. This is one of those examples of things that really, if the ABCC everybody got it together, we would never have to deal with this. This has no actual application to the store across the street. This is just shareholders changing. This is a corporate board structure issue. And we usually, this is an administrative house cleaning item that really should never even be coming here. But we have to have it as a pass-through agency, and I just wanted to summarize that really quickly for the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Michael, you all set?
I'm all set, yes.
Okay, where this is a public hearing, I will go to the public first. Is there anyone in council chambers that would like to speak on this license modification? Seeing no one, is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on this license modification? Don't see anybody, Amy. Okay, now I'll go to the counselors. Is there any counselor that would like to speak on this license modification? Okay, with that, I would declare the public hearing closed. And just to, so Michael doesn't have to stay on board here all night, I will go to legislation for action, license transaction number 7A, license modification. Clerk will read the modification.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a license transaction for a change of officers, change of stock interest. For Table and Vine Incorporated, located at 348 East Central Street, Franklin, Massachusetts, 02038. Table and Vine Incorporated is seeking approval for multiple modifications of their Section 15 Wine and Malt Beverages Retail Package Store license to include a change of officers and change of stock interest. All departments have signed off on this application, and this is a motion to approve the request by Table and Vine Incorporated for a change of officers and change of stock interests.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Jamie, anything to add?
Nope. All set.
Counselors, any questions or comments? Seeing none, the vote will come on the license modification. Clerk will call the roll.
Sheridan.
Yes.
Cormier Ledger.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Hamblin. Pellegrini.
Yes.
Jones. Yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Thank you, Michael. Okay, next we have a second public hearing on a new Section 15 all alcoholic beverages package store license and approval of Michael Gannon as the manager, Shikshapatri Corporation doing business as Dacey's Market in Delhi, located at 353 Lincoln Street, Franklin, Mass., and I would declare that public hearing open. Representatives here, Jamie?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to jump right ahead real quick. As folks on the council may remember, this is a home rule petition that was put through you guys through the legislature a couple years ago. I know there may be a little confusion over this being a quote-unquote new license. It isn't. It's just being transferred, which is allowed under the law. But we have a confirming email from the ABCC executive director that we have to title it as a new license because it's a home rule transfer. This is something we're not used to here because this is one of our first home rules because, as everybody knows, on the restaurant licenses, we have an unlimited quota. Mm-hmm. So we never have to do these. But we had to do that in the case of Dacey's to get the new license. Mm-hmm. I cannot possibly explain to you why they call it a new license. This is just the way the state ABCC makes this stuff up. But I just wanted to make sure that was very clear to everybody on the council that this is basically the same thing as what you would normally see as a transfer of a license. And I'm sure the attorney on behalf of the party will explain that in a little bit more detail. Thank you.
Please, just name and address, please.
Sure. Good evening, Attorney John Meridian, DeMarcus Law Offices, Lynn, Massachusetts. With me is Ravi Patel and Michael Gannon. As explained by Mr. Helen, Ravi has formed Shikshapatri Corporation to purchase Dacey's Market from Mad Deli Incorporated. And as a quirk to the way this works for these new licenses governed by special legislation, so we're applying for a new license but we're purchasing the business. There's going to be no change to the store footprint or anything like that. It's going to remain Dacey's Market, which is a convenience store deli serving all alcoholic beverages. Ravi here owns a few convenience stores with beer and wine licenses and liquor licenses, and Michael Gannon will be the manager of record. Michael is TIPS certified. They'll have 2 to 3 employees, and they'll use an ID scanner to check underage alcohol sales. We're seeking two motions, essentially, the approval of the new license and approval of the pledge of the license inventory to Rockland Trust Company. Like I said, you'll see no change in the store footprint. It'll still remain Dacey's Market and operate as such. So with that, any questions the board has, I'll welcome those.
Thank you. Okay, again, this is a public hearing, so I will go to the public first. Is there anyone in council chambers that would like to speak on this new all-alcoholic beverage package store license? Seeing no one in council.
Oh,
please, come forward. Just name and address, please.
My name is Krunal Contractor. I and my family own the Lincoln Street Market, 455 Lincoln Street. So I and my father, we came in back in October when there was an initial hearing for this liquor license. And we stayed on here that this place was never like a good or approved for that good for the liquor store. Before the previous owner, he ran out of the business and I had to buy the license. Before that, multiple management changes just because of same reason that liquor store was not running good here. Now, this current owner came here in the town's council and argued that the market is changing now. Everybody's buying RTDs. Those are ready-to-drink cocktails like a High Moon. And he wants to stay in competition, so he need a liquor license. So when that approved...
Could we silence the cell phones in council chambers, please?
So he got approved for that license. It's not even a first-year finish after his approval license, and this came back to sell the business. Now, as everybody knows, what's the price of liquor license in Massachusetts? It at least starts from $200,000. So clearly here, we are looking that the owner's intention was not to sell the ready-to-drink alcohol. It was literally just get the liquor license, not 1 year, sell it, make some chunk of money. And the second thing I would say, there are multiple beer and wine stores in town. Probably tomorrow, if this license get approved today, tomorrow they will come. Hey, we also want to stay in a competition. We need liquor license too because Dacey's Market got approved, and probably they can let's to retire and sell the license, or maybe the big stores, the many supermarkets, they own the beer and wine license, and they may say we also want to stay in competition. We need those liquor license too so we can sell those RTDs. So that's not going to be the good practice for the businesses. So I request town council members to deny this application, send the message that different town of Franklin is not good for this kind of practice. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Attorney Sorrell.
Yes, this, as I've told you on other occasions, increased competition is not grounds to deny a license, exactly. Number one. Number two, you folks made a determination when we petitioned the legislature that there was a public need at this location for an all-alcohol license, so the only issue before you tonight, in my opinion, is the suitability of the transferee.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on this new alcohol beverage package store? Please come forward. Name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Jack Patel from...
He's our resident.
He does that every meeting.
So my name is Jack Patel. I'm from Union Street Wines and Liquors, 317 Union Street in Franklin. I totally agree with him. When this license was issued, as I was understand, it was non-transferable license, and that is why ABCC is using this different languages so we can get a new licenses. I would request the council to please reconsider this because There are big supermarket who's trying to get a liquor license, and they will definitely use this against us who's trying to, you know, to stay in a market who definitely cannot survive against BJ's or Big Y's. And, you know, we can't fight against their lawyers and everything. So please, it's just a request to reconsider this transfer and try to look what's a loophole they're trying to use here. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on this new alcoholic, all-alcoholic beverage package store?
Can I just repeat?
You certainly can.
As Attorney Sorrell said, this public need is not, it's been found at this location by the town, approving this location. Right. This license is not transferable to any other location in town. It's limited to that,
mm-hmm. that location.
Spot.
Yeah.
Just want to note that.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Is there anyone else in council chambers that would like to speak on this all-alcoholic beverage package store license? Seeing no one, is there anyone out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on this all-alcoholic beverage package store license, this new license?
There is one.
Matthew Porter Esquire and Kyle Vieira. There's two.
Two. Okay, Matthew, you want to take him first, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you to Council. My name is Matthew Porter. I'm the attorney for Liquor World, located in Franklin as well. Our issue tonight with this application is certainly not the applicants themselves. We don't have any indication that they're unfit in any manner whatsoever. We do, however, have an issue with the manner in which this has been brought forth. Mr. Helen stated at the outset that, you know, essentially this was an ABCC issue and this should be treated as a transfer and not as a license. I do take some exception to the way that you presented that. The reason that this needs to be brought forth as a new license is because when the home rule petition was approved for this location, it was approved in a manner that stated that the license cannot be transferred.
Right.
And so as a result of that, it does trigger the fact that this is now should be and needs to be considered a new license. Now, flashing back to the prior time, the previous hearing, the town did find a public need, but before that hearing was an applicant who was stating, I don't want to operate as a full liquor store. I simply need this all alcohol license in order to sell high noons and products of that nature in order to continue to operate the deli. So my question for the applicant tonight and for the board is, what is this new applicant's plan for the store? Is the plan there to still operate as a deli with alcohol just as an ancillary item, or is it going to be that a month down the road, 2 months down the road, the deli is gone, this turns into a full home liquor store, and now you have something that does not meet a public need in our opinion in the town? Because there's a package store a half mile away. Franklin is already over quota for liquor license. So I think what really needs to be asked here, because of the fact that this does now trigger public need again, is what is the applicant's plan for this location? And how is the board going to keep it so that applicant operates in a manner that they're stating? Because the last applicant that became before this board and asked for an all alcohol license because they needed to survive, turned around 3 months later and sold this thing for a couple $100,000. So I think the town really needs to take a closer examination of that. You know, and with that, I was not at a prior hearing. My brother at my firm was Kyle Vieira. So with that, I'm just going to open it up for Kyle with a couple words from our firm.
Yeah, Kyle Vieira of 40 Turnpike Street in Houston. I was at the hearing, and what Krunal stated earlier is 100% accurate. This license was represented as his clients, his deli clients, needed a high noon, or they wanted some sort of hard beverage that was not able to be sold sold under their beer and wine license. They wanted to be able to provide that. And that was the backdrop on which the board found there to be a public need. But to be quite frank, this business was listed to be sold with a broker as of the time of that hearing and as of the time that we were evaluating the public need. So how can you on one side say that, oh, this license is going to be purely for me to sell high noons and hard seltzer, while on the other hand, looking to sell your business when that license can increase the cost of your business, in my experience, $100,000 or $200,000. You know, honestly, it does not seem to me to be above board. If the applicant had came before this council and said, I'm looking to sell this license right after I get it, public need would have not have been found, which is why the facade was put forth that this was a license that was purely to sell high noons. You know, in my opinion, from what was put forth to the council in the first place, you know, this is not above board, I would urge that the council look a little closer into this, because we're 7 months later, now he's selling a license and getting a substantial profit from it. So again, I would ask that the council deny this, or at least table it and take a closer look at this transaction.
Thank you. Is there anyone else out there in Zoom land that would like to speak on this all alcoholic package store license? Seeing none. Jamie.
Dear Mr. Chairman, I just want to state for the record, item B in the legislation, the licensing authority shall not approve the transfer of the license granted pursuant to this section at any other location, which I believe Mr. DeMarcus spoke to a moment ago, but it may grant the license to a new applicant, which is the case tonight. So
the home rule allows
the transfer
stays
of this license. Exactly. At that location, the current location, is allowed under the home rule. That is just in the legislation, and it's there. I just wanted to make sure the board was aware of the legislative interpretation.
Well, that was going to be my question. I just wanted to make sure that the home rule piece of that license stays intact regardless of what we do.
And as Mr. Helen indicated at the outset, attorney and I were both back and forth as to how to proceed. We were specifically instructed by the ABCC executive director with a confirming email to proceed in the manner in which it's been filed here, but with the understanding that the home rule petition or the home rule legislation governs this license.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jamie. Yeah. Questions from the council? Councilor Cormier-Ledger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a question to the gentleman here with the tie representing. Has the transaction been completed, or is it still being negotiated?
No. So two things. Go into Attorney Porter's question of what's the goal here. It's going to remain a deli market with liquor option. It's not going to be a full-blown liquor store with liquor wall-to-wall. It's going to be maintain a deli, convenience store items, and liquor. So we're not looking to change that use, so to speak. And no, the transaction has not occurred. This is all contingent upon approval tonight by the board, as well as a 6 to 8 week ABCC review of the application and approval.
So I just want to make sure I understand. The purchase is contingent upon our approval of this license transaction tonight.
Correct, and the ABCC.
So the buyer does not want the property unless this license goes through.
Correct.
Thank you.
Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to reiterate this. I know everyone, it was explained excellent by Mr. Helen and Mr. Sorrell. But what I got was, because that word new license, it just, people couldn't get over that. So they were asking me, well, why can't we go for it? But the simple answer that you've already said is it can only be at that location. They would have to buy the whole business. Yep. So it's not up for grabs.
Nope.
Right. That's the question that I got. I just wanted to reiterate that. Right. That was a hard question.
Thank you, Councilor.
One last thing. No
sure.
problem.
Go ahead.
I know that we've never had anyone that owns two package store licenses in this town. Are you incorporated with DeVita's? Are you involved with them?
His wife is purchasing DeVita's.
Your wife, so they're all.
Oh.
Yeah, I never got told that. I don't think that's ever happened in this town, that one family owned two licenses. Liquor licenses?
No. Not a legally relevant.
It's not
a legally relevant issue.
No, it is.
Okay. No, I just thought it'd be.
Yeah.
Okay. It's worth pointing out. All right. Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Any other councilors? Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering, you mentioned that the person that, I think it's Ravi Patel, yes. Like owns other convenience stores. I was wondering what they were.
He owns Surrey Street Market in Cambridge, and he purchased Malden Liquors, Fine Wine Liquors in Malden over December.
So is the one in Cambridge like a deli?
It's a convenience store. No, it's a convenience store, though, with beer and wine.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Sheridan.
I guess that was my question, if the other stores were delis. And I guess we have to vote for this, but I don't. I apologize because it was a raw deal.
Hold on.
Councilor Helen, excuse me.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to make clear.
Raise your hand if you'd like to be recognized.
Again, largely for these purposes, you know, we're a pass-through on this, but I would confirm with the town attorney, I believe anybody else that's aggrieved could possibly appeal to the ABCC, but that's outside of our jurisdiction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, to Councilor Sheridan's question about feeling like have to do this, if those other folks on the call that are opposed to this, they also have an ability to appeal to the ABCC on any decision.
Thank you, Jamie. Attorney Sorrell.
And it would be my opinion that you can impose, or you certainly can impose reasonable conditions right. on a license transfer. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, you could impose the condition that it continue to be used as a mixed use with a convenience store in Delhi as part of the alcohol.
I would agree with that.
Yep.
Thank you, Attorney Sorrell.
Kobe has his hand up.
Yeah, so does Glenn. Glenn had his up first.
He's gonna make a motion.
Councilor Jones.
No. I wasn't gonna make a motion yet. But what I'm gonna do is throw it out to the potential owner, who's looking, has interest in all of this. And again, I think what everyone's kind of looking for here is some certainty that the use remains as a deli with.
That's
just basically the way Daisy's is now with some kind of reassurance. No, we can, I know, but was that your intention or was some nefarious thing to turn it into? Okay.
One at a time, raise your hand if you want to be recognized. Councilor Jones, you have the floor.
Thank you. My apologies. Is the intention to use it for its original use? Is, I guess, my question.
Yes. Attorney Sorrell.
So, my issue, would you agree to that condition?
Yes.
Thank you, Attorney Sorrell. Okay. Councilor DeLorco. I thought you had.
Well, no, I mean, I'm in favor of the mixed use. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Kobe. Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, I think we got to it. I put my hand up before.
Yeah.
Spoke. I was just wondering what our options are. I think it still somewhat stands, although it sounds like we're arriving on a somewhat reasonable option.
Yeah.
So what are eligible grounds for rejection at this point?
Attorney Sorrell.
What the general standard is public need. So as I said, you made that determination when you petitioned for an extra license here. The second one is the suitability of the proposed applicant to operate, and that is open for reasonable minds, but you haven't heard anything negative about this applicant from an operational standpoint. So, and again, they've agreed to the condition that seems to be concerning people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Attorney Sorrell. Councilor Frangillo, anything else?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. Did I see somebody's hand in the audience? Please. come forward. Name and address. Steve, help.
He was on.
He's got a tie off.
Yeah, he got to get a tie off.
Denise Holt, 26 Cooks Farm Road. I just need clarification on this particular subject, that it's going to be deli first and then the alcohol second, and it, because what's the difference between a deli and a convenience store?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think they're two different. A deli is you're serving a lot of food. A convenience store, you go in and get whatever. But the deli, you're serving prepared food versus a convenience store such as 7-Eleven. To me, that they're two different things.
Again, that's something we can make as part of the license. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to speak on this new all alcohol license? Good. I will declare the public hearing closed, and we will move to, again, for those folks that are here, so they don't have to wait through a lot of others, we'll go to license transaction 7B, new section 15, all alcoholic beverage package store license, and approval of Michael Gannon as manager. Clerk will read the license transaction.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a license transaction for new section 15, all alcoholic beverages package store license. Shikshapatri Corporation, doing business as Stacy's Market and Deli at 353 Lincoln Street, Franklin, Massachusetts, 02038. The Shikshapatri Corporation, doing business as Stacy's Market and Deli, located 353 Lincoln Street, Franklin, Massachusetts, 02038, is seeking approval for a new Section 15 All Alcoholic Beverages Package Store license and to approve the manager, Michael Gannon. This is a motion to approve the request by Shikshapatri Corporation, doing business as Stacy's Market and Deli, located at 353 Lincoln Street, Franklin, Mass., 02038. For a new Section 15 All Alcoholic Beverages Package Store license and to approve the manager, Mike Gannon.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. I think Councilor Frangillo had a question. His hand was up.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify. I think we're all arriving at a similar place. I just wanted to clarify that the procedure is correct. We need to be making a motion.
An amendment.
Motion to amend.
We're going to make an amendment now.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is opening that, now
we're
making
once we put the motion on the floor, there's a motion and a second. Now we go to an amendment to the motion. If somebody would like to make an amendment.
Amendment.
Councilor Shelley.
I'd like to make a motion to amend that it maintains a full deli.
Is that the full text?
Let's clarify with Attorney Sorrell.
I would say something in the nature of continue the present operations as a convenience store and delicatessen in the same manner in which they have been operating.
Does that work for you, Councilor Sheridan?
Yes.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Second. I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second to the amendment to maintain the operation as it currently exists. Discussion on the amendment. Councilor Chandler.
Quickly, Mr. Chairman. What is the process if they break this? Is it
like, they're in
like how many chances does the first, like how we do a liquor license, you get shut down for a couple days and then eventually you lose the license? How does that work?
This is actually breaking the license, if I'm not mistaken.
You would have options to enforce.
Not the least of which.
Suspension, revocation.
Yeah. We could revoke it.
Okay, thank you. I just want to know what the consequences were.
Exactly. Councilor Plegri.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Should we be mentioning any place in this that this is under the home rule license? Because later on, if we look at this, I don't mean later on next week, years, we might not understand this. We may have different people here. Should we, through you to Mark, list it some way, home rule?
It's already.
The application which is filed, which we hear first is an ABCC application, which identifies that there's no downside, if you want to reference it in the motion of approval, per the, per, it's Chapter 346 of the Legislative Acts of 2022.
Right.
Okay. In order to do that at this point, we would have to either make a new amendment or withdraw this one and make it part of...
Make one big amendment.
Exactly. But I have a motion and a second on the floor. So
I'll withdraw it.
Thank you. Will the second withdraw?
I'll second.
Thank you. Now, Councillor Sheridan.
Make a motion with the council to whatever that.
Mark, you want
to the chapter 346 of the act, chapter 346 of the acts of 2022,
and add it to the old.
And that, and that the license is conditioned upon continuation of the current operation of a convenience store and delicatessen.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the amendment. Is there any further? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment to the motion.
Tom, I had my hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Councillor Cormier-Ledger.
And I mean no disrespect to these gentlemen who are looking to buy this piece of property, but I just feel like it hasn't been said. I feel a little duped. I feel a little bit like this isn't an ethical thing brought before us. We had a gentleman come before us that made this argument a few months ago. We listened to his argument. We gave him that. He went and sold it. The whole thing stinks. And every one of those guys standing up back there and the attorneys that zoomed in and spoke, they're right. We look stupid by saying, okay, just go ahead and sell it and make a huge profit because the town went ahead and gave you this special license. We believed you that you wanted to sell these little ready-made drinks. I don't like it one bit, and I don't like the attempt to make us look like fools. So I will not be supporting this initiative.
Thank you, Councillor Cormier-Ledger. Any other councillors? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Yes, on the amendment. Sheridan?
Yes.
Cormier-Ledger?
No.
Chandler?
Yes.
Frangillo?
Yes.
Allegri?
Yes.
Hamblin?
Yes.
Jones? Yes. Vice Chair?
Yes.
Chair?
Yes.
That's 8-1.
Thank you. The amendment carries. Now we need to do the actual.
Yes, sir. This is the roll call for the original motion on the license transaction.
As amended.
You let me finish. As amended. Cormier-Ledger.
No.
Sheridan.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Pellegri.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Jones. Yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
8-1.
Motion carries. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on. Next item on the agenda, presentations and discussions. Seeing only part of the room leave, I'm guessing that a lot of people are here for this part. Okay. I'll turn it on. Okay. I'll bring the April 10th meeting back to order. I forgot what day it was. If we go much longer, it'll be another day. Okay, we're moving on. Next item on the agenda is legislation for action, Resolution 24-17. Local acceptance of General Law, Chapter 166, Section 32A. No, is that?
32A.
Yeah, 32A.
32A.
Mm-hmm. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 24-17, Local Acceptance of General Law, Chapter 166, Section 32A. Whereas it's very difficult for the municipality to hire a qualified person to work exclusively as a full-time electrical wiring inspector, and whereas in recognition of the general court enacted General Law Chapter 166, Section 32A, which is a local acceptance statute that permits a licensed electrician who is appointed as a local inspector of wires to also work privately pursuant to the terms and conditions set out in the statute. Now, therefore, the Franklin Town Council, acting on behalf of the Town of Franklin, hereby accepts General Law Chapter 166, Section 32A, and the provisions thereof. This resolution shall become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Homebrew Charter.
Move Resolution 24-17.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion, Jamie.
This is to help the man who's been sitting here the whole night, Gus Brown. No, he deserves an electrician.
Why do we want to help him?
I know. In all seriousness, Mr. Chairman, this is a house cleaning item of a local acceptance statute that we believe the town had accepted years ago, but had not. And if it looks like Gus wants to stand up and say a word or two.
Sure, I want to exercise my feet, my mouth, whatever. it was something that kind of got dropped by the wayside, sorry. With the fact that we had done it years ago, I could have even been when there were selectmen in your seats, select women too, in your seats, where they allowed our town inspectors, the part-time inspectors that did mechanical work, to also work as a private contractor in town, and to do electrical and plumbing inspector. And the building commissioner has never had that authority in Franklin to do work on the side, so to speak. So they were approved to do it. However, there was this law, 166, Mass General Law, that I just found out about, and we had a pretty quickly if we could to get this in front of you, which Mark Sorrell did a great job doing so. But this is going to allow our electrical inspectors legally to work in town as an inspector and as a private contractor. And with your blessing tonight, you'll be able, the two that I have that don't work in town every day, but occasionally will be able to do so, do both their jobs.
I think the first question that everybody would ask is, they obviously would not be inspecting their own.
Right. That's
actually why you. That's actually why you need the other inspectors that are not the ones that are usually on staff, because those ones have to recuse themselves, and then you need somebody still to go out and do it.
Yeah.
And if I can go through the chair again.
You still have the floor, Mr. Brown.
Thank you very much. The plumbing inspector doesn't have such a rule to abide by. It would still have to be voted in on some other resolution, not in a Mass General Law, for the plumbing inspector to work in town and to be inspected in town, but that was already done years ago.
Okay.
Whether that's still in effect, I think it is. I don't know. That
something we should check. Not that he's doing anything, but.
Right.
Okay.
No, you talked enough, Gus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aye.
We have a motion. We have a motion and second. Any further discussion?
No.
Mr. Jones, please make it quick.
I'm assuming it's Mr. Laughlin and Mrs. Sweet that are
you have hit the nail on the head.
Yes. Okay.
A staple on the head.
Yep. No, that's good. And just again, I think it's already been stated that obviously there's just so long as there's no conflict of interest of work interests in regards to signing off on any permits or signing
Franklin,
off.
We make absolutely sure of that.
Good. I know both of them. They're very honorable people. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other questions or comments from council? Okay, the vote will come on the motion to approve Resolution 24-17. A majority vote's required. Roll call vote. Clerk will call the roll.
Sheridan?
Yes.
Cormier Ledger?
Yes.
Frangillo?
Yes.
Chandler?
Yes.
Hamblin?
Yes.
Allegri?
Yes.
Jones? Yes. Vice Chair?
Yes.
Chair?
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries. Resolution 24-18, gift acceptance. Veterans Services Department, $2,250. Senior Center, $1,500. Clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 24-18, Acceptance of Gifts, Veteran Services Department, Senior Center, Franklin Historical Museum. Whereas the Veteran Services Department, Senior Center, Franklin Historical Museum have received generous donations in the total amount of $5,353.55 to be used at the discretion of each department as follows. Donation summary, Veteran Services Department, $2,250. Donation to be used at the discretion of the Veteran Services Department to the Veterans Gift Fund in support of local veterans and their families. God bless them. Senior Center, $1,500. Donations to be applied at the discretion of the Senior Center through the Council of Aging Gift Fund to provide services and programs to senior citizens in the Franklin community. Franklin Historical Museum, $603.55. Donations to be used at the discretion of the Franklin Historical Museum to provide programs and services to the Franklin community. The list
should be
of all donors is included in the April 10th, 2024 Town Council meeting agenda packet. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Franklin, on behalf of the Veterans Services Department, Senior Center, and Franklin Historical Museum, gratefully accepts these generous donations to be used at the discretion of each department for the purposes of noted above. This resolution should become effective according to the provisions of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move Resolution 24-18.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Just thanking the families and people that continue to step forward and donate to our different departments, Veteran Services and Senior Center, and all of the other departments that continue to get supported by the community. So with that, the vote will come on the motion to approve Resolution 24-18. Again, a majority roll call vote required. Clerk will call the roll.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Pellegrini.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Frangillo.
Yes.
Cormier Ledger.
Yes.
And Sheridan.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0.
Motion carries. Town Administrator's report.
I'm going to try to make it quick, Mr. Chairman. And I'm about to lose my voice, which I know is not, nobody else is upset about that.
No, but, nobody up here.
I don't think anybody at home. I don't think anybody.
There's nobody at home.
They're hoping I lose it right now. But just a few really, really, really important things. Number one, the budget. You've heard a lot about this. My budget presentation will be out this Friday. And a key date, well, a few key dates. The budget will be out this Friday, the town administrator's budget by the town charter. Finance committee will be next Wednesday, the 17th. I'm sure there'll be some discussion around preliminary talks about the budget. A very, very important date, Mr. Chairman, which I know you'll emphasize again in a moment, during your moment. April 24th is going to be a public hearing on an override. At Franklin High School at 7 o'clock, the town council and school committee will hold a joint meeting. And that meeting is intended to hear feedback from the community on the override. And so I hope everybody will attend. I don't know how many seats are in the auditorium, Mr. Chairman, but it will.
842.
Who is counting? But just like I had to give. You gotta get a little saucy here. And it will be on Zoom. We did check, so people will still be able to watch from home. And I know Franklin TV will record it, a very important night. And then the FinCom hearings will be May 6th, May 8th, and May 15th. Second, Councilor Sheridan had asked a couple meetings ago for an update on the migrant situation at the hotel. I don't think I could ever say enough great things about Kathy Liberty, our health director, and all of the amazing stakeholders in this community, the Interfaith Coalition, to the Safe Coalition, to the Food Pantry, and just dozens, if not hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people at the Federated Church, and for all their work that they've been doing over the last months. I got a little bit of an update. We don't have confirmation, actually, from the state that they've renewed the lease for the next year. We do not have that. I have asked over and over for 2 months for an answer to that. But due to Kathy's leadership, she was able to get out of the state that in June, hopefully end of May or early June, a group called Commonwealth Care Alliance is going to take over operations at the hotel to deal with the emergency shelter program, which kind of leads Amy and I to believe that maybe the lease is going on for a little longer. I wish that they could just confirm that, but they have not. And so that's actually really good news for mainly for our stakeholders, you know, who have done amazing work for the last year, but, you know, probably need a little bit of a break. And I know there has been some burnout, and there has been some folks who have kind of, you know, not been able to make their commitments full. So to have the state finally be able to have the provider, you know, even if it's 11 months late, you know, better late than never. So that's happening. Give Crafty a lot of credit for getting a $10,000 grant for transportation. And I think Councilor Sheridan had asked about the schools. As far as Amy and I know, everything's been going really well there. Oh, Councilor DeLucco, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's not what I'm hearing. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know what to do about it. You know, so if people are hearing different things, maybe you could give me a call and let me know what you're hearing. Because I'm sure there are small issues that are going on up there, but there are small issues that are going on with people that aren't migrant families either. So there are issues at the schools that are relative to migrants, and also there are issues that are not related to migrants. And I think the school department, from our interactions with the superintendent and Dr. Morano, have been doing a great job at least being able to work through a very tough situation. They did get $200,000. I don't know if I talked about that before. From the state, it's still not paying the whole bill, but they have committed to at least funding all of the costs through the end of the fiscal year. So, and then lastly, regarding the DPW director, as folks may be aware, you know, on February 9th, I put him on administrative leave. I will be putting out a full and complete website tomorrow where I'm going to reinstate the DPW director tomorrow morning at about 7 o'clock a.m. to start a business. There'll be a complete website out with all of the materials, a final report, press release, all the materials relating to the investigation by the Ethics Commission, and everything that I know and that Amy knows in our possession will be on a website tomorrow. It'll all be made public. It'll be put out on social media tomorrow. And I hope that folks take a look at those materials when they're out there. I know that people have some concerns, as they should, but at the end of the day, I'm very proud of the fact that we are being, as an organization, extraordinarily transparent and proactive to get all the materials revolving around people's questions. I even went a little further. I know there's been rumors spoken of at the microphone here and online, and I did everything I could to look through all of our records, procurement, emails, reports, our financials. On May 1st, our auditors, as all of you know, we do a presentation every single year on our independent financial audit. Our auditors will be here on May 1st to talk about our FY23 financial audit. And so that report will be out fully tomorrow online, and folks can look at it. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay, subcommittee and ad hoc committee reports. Capital, I don't think so. EDC, yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We met tonight before the first, before this meeting. We spoke about downtown commercial parking and revisions in that. And how we can become MBTA compliant with this change. We also added a little more changes to it. We'd like to bring it to the full council to have a discussion and then send it to the planning board if we get that far. So we just want to have a bigger conversation about it.
Understood.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Budget subcommittee has not met. Master Plan Committee, Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have our next meeting on April 17th at 6:30 p.m. next week. The Master Plan Open House, which was last month, was an actual awesome success. We're going to be taking all that information, compiling it, and continuing on our process moving forward. Things are going well and on schedule, sir.
Thank you, Councilor Jones. Davis, their reuse, you haven't met yet.
Well, we haven't talked to Jamie about the request for interest.
They're due at the end of May.
Due at the end of May.
The end of May.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Police Station Building Committee, we've narrowed down the search on the, for the project manager. And those interviews, I think we've scheduled for the 13th of May.
May 13th, I think. Time to be determined, but I think it's the afternoon.
Yeah. So more to report when after those interviews. GATRA Advisory Board, Councilor Frangillo?
He's shaking his head.
He's shaking his head no. Okay. All right, future agenda items. Councilor Cormier-Ledger, I'm picking on you first all night.
That's all right. Why not? thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would say my only comment to Jamie to look into further with staff spun from the conversation tonight about the Stobart's property. And obviously, we're a long way from a decision, but maybe in the meantime, to ease some of the concerns that were arisen, staff could make an appointment to walk the property and look and see if there truly are some oil spills, environmental concerns, well concerns, trucks. There were a lot of things brought up tonight that the property is not being used correctly and is a threat and actually going against some of our own bylaws. Regardless of how it's sold or what becomes of it, that really should be looked at now.
Yes.
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. That's all I had, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Cormier-Ledger. Councilor Chandler.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Pellegrini.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Sheridan.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Frangillo. I'll pick you in order.
He's shaking his head.
Okay. Councilor Hamblin.
Nothing at this time.
Councilor Jones.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For future agenda items, I'd like to make shorter agenda requests.
Okay. What?
Shorter agendas.
Oh, yeah, not
you want to have a discussion?
That was a Jones.
That was a Jones.
Okay, Councilor DeLonco.
Shorter agenda.
No, thank you, Bobby.
I just had the immigrants in the schools, but Jamie said that he already knows, but I know a little bit more than he does, so I'll tell him.
No.
There you go. Please do.
Yeah.
You always do, Bobby. You always do.
I do not have any, so we'll move on to councilor comments. Councilor Cormier-Ledger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to everybody for the marathon meeting tonight. I know everybody's tired, but I do think there was some good dialogue, and I think it's great to see the community come out and for us to listen
Absolutely.
To their concerns. I would like, along the lines of the migrant issue, though, Jamie, maybe we can have the police chief come and just give a quick update from his perspective, because I do think there's a lot of speculation and people and rumors flying around, especially on social media, that there are inappropriate things happening at the hotel, safety concerns, there's things happening in the schools. We don't know if it's true or not. But he could certainly stand up in front of everybody and give an update, and it would just put that to rest.
Okay.
But other than that...
he's coming on May 1st.
Yeah, he'll be at the May 1st meeting.
So great.
A few weeks down the road, okay?
Yeah. And I think that would help the community kind of put some of that stuff to rest anyway. But anyway, I wanted to thank everybody, too, for... helping us wrap up the Art and Culture Subcommittee, that we had a great meeting, and then we followed it up with the grant presentation and celebration that was at Dean. And it was nice to kind of put a bow on that project and be able to sort of pass the baton on to Corey and let her do some great things. So we're excited about that. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Cormier-Ledger. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Make it quick tonight. Well, it's interesting that Mr. Cannareggi's coming back, because my counselor comment was if the DPW could send somebody by Ms. Sullivan's house tomorrow and take care of those patches.
Oh,
you remember her? Anyone remember her calling me out on that? Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Pothole?
That comment she made actually is the 48-hour rule. So now we have 48 hours. I already noted it down. Councilor Chandler, you were spot on.
Yeah, thank you. All right, as long as someone's going to go by, I'll drive by there and...
Give him till 7:30.
48, yeah. Yeah, I know, 7:30. If he sends the truck out in the morning, that would be great, though. Yeah.
That's really low.
Keep my pothole king reputation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Pellegrini.
Oh, I have a couple of things here. First of all, no one has mentioned the earthquake that we had on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Do you all know about it?
It shook me all night long.
Huh?
It shook me all night long.
Well, let me tell you, I was at the...
You were at the senior center.
And all of a sudden, all the eyes looked at each other because our feet were moving.
Mm-hmm.
The lights in that weren't moving at all, but it was all under our feet. And on the first floor, I was on the second floor. So I said, oh, my God. And the girl next to me said, I think it's an earthquake. I said, well, I called Jamie right away, and I said, Jamie, are you getting tremors over there? And he said, for what?
I called you back right away.
Yeah, and he looked into it, and he said, yes, it was a 4.7. Now, I don't know if we've ever had one of those in town before. I don't ever remember it.
It was in Jersey.
Yeah,
yeah, we did.
In Jersey.
Perhaps we did. So, anyway, that was something to, you know, shake up the town. Next, I wanted to question, you know, the stores that are going out up on the main street. Does that have anything to do with the pop-up stores?
No. In fact, Escape to Fiction was a pop-up store.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
At a different site. I'm guessing each business has their own story. My guess may be the rent is too high.
Rent. There we go. Rent again. Right.
Well, Escape to Fiction is moving, relocating their family.
Right.
Right.
It's because they couldn't make it work.
But I think the rent is too damn high.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ted.
Okay.
It's expensive.
Let me see what else I had here. Earthquake. Oh, I wanted to mention the marathon on Monday. That my granddaughter is running. She's running with the JDRF. She's a type 1 diabetic. She got all her money that she had to collect and all of that. And if you're there, you will see them in green shirts and that. And we're going to be set up with a group of green shirt people. It's called Team Maggie. So I give her all the credit in the world. She's been... practicing, or what do you say?
Training.
And it was, she's doing a great job. And lastly, I just didn't know if the Franklin High School, I probably should go to the school committee for this, works with the ROTC program at all in Franklin.
Yeah, they do.
Because I do have to brag a little bit right now. My grandson was... accepted, he's going to Harvard in the fall.
Right.
And through ROTC, after he was accepted in that, he looked into it because they contacted him. And we went to a program at Gillette Stadium the other day, and Monday, and they presented him and four other seniors with checks for college, and he got a check for $253,000.
Wow, congratulations.
ROTC, believe me, is very
good.
For
1 year at
high. One credit?
And they said,
yeah, it's 1 year.
Huh? One credit.
Well, it's tuition only.
Tuition.
So that's like $59,000, and then he has to pay room and board.
But here he gets this.
Yeah. And like one of the officers were talking, and they said a lot of the towns are not promoting this.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all kinds of... guidance counselors and all there, and I spoke to a few of them, and I don't know if Franklin is involved with that. No one was there from Franklin.
Oops. Chairman of the school committee's here. I'm sure he will take it back.
I can see you behind that beam.
He's hiding.
Still here.
Yeah, and
he'll take note of it.
Are you involved with the ROTC program?
Yeah, I can read right from our website, you know, but the guidance department does kind of work with them, and ultimately, yes.
Well, they said they would be very happy to come to Franklin High School and talk.
Yeah, they would.
Considering their ranks.
All right, you can talk to me afterward.
Yeah,
okay?
I'll sit right there so you can see me.
Good, I didn't see anyone behind there. And the Davis there is what I was going to ask about, and I think that's about it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, really?
Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. Councilor Sheridan.
Did you ever see what he said?
Some high schools have junior ROTC, yeah, so yes. Might be thinking of. I don't think Franklin does, but they work with them. But yeah. And my son's at Andy Sullivan. He said that everything's going well with the migrants. He's got to know some of them.
Councilor Frangillo.
Very, very quickly, Arts and Culture Subcommittee wrapped up, passed on the report. If you haven't seen it, I was pretty proud of the product, and Corey's been fantastic at picking it up and running with it. I'm really excited about the direction of Arts and Culture in town. I've had nothing but positive interactions with migrants. I've been at birthday parties, I've played club soccer, I've met a few at the library.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Councilor Frangillo. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to reiterate what Councilor Cormier Ledger and Councilor Frangillo just said about the arts and culture, the ad hoc committee, and Corey Shea, and it's just really good stuff. I think we could all agree. That's something we can all feel good about. And just quickly, I just want to give my condolences to Larry Bedarian's family and his passing, including all his veterans family, because he had a big family of veterans at the VFW Post 3402 and everyone at Veterans Services. I'm sure everyone misses him a great deal. And I just want them to know I'm thinking about them. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of really good things. I know it's kind of late. My son might still actually be awake, ironically enough, because he is a 19-year-old at Dean College. Dean College actually just had a show called Pocatello, which they actually casted two different casts for it. My son ended up playing one of the main roles of Nick, and I saw that show over at Dean College on Friday night. And let me tell you, folks, if you have an opportunity, get an opportunity to go by Dean College and see any one of their shows or their plays, they put on a spectacular show. All of these kids pour their heart into this. It was a great show. Sunday, because it hasn't been mentioned yet, La Catena Winery had their grand opening of their new location, which is quite literally right next to their old location. But if you get a chance to go over and check it out, it came out absolutely spectacular. They serve pizza over there now. They have this nice little brick oven pizza inside. The decor just looks remarkable. It was a great event on Sunday afternoon. I was very happy to attend. And finally, my last thing for the day, to end my very long day. I've been up since 4 a.m., but it was worth every single second. Because today, up in the University of New Hampshire, my cadets competed at the Seacoast Sea Perch International ROV competition. This is our fourth year, and my team won first place. My cadets won first place for the second time in a row, 2 years in a row, back to back. This moves them on to the international competitions in Maryland, and I'm just so very proud of the hard work. This was like a six-month process leading up to this process to get to the internationals. Internationals are in June. I'm just so proud of my cadets for all the hard work they put into making this happen. So,
thank you, Councilor Jones. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Brunelli. Yeah, I'd like to send out to the Bedarian family and also to the Brunelli family. Clem Brunelli died over the weekend. What else is I going to say? Since everybody's been so nice about the migrants, but I had a couple families come over my house and they're not so nice, the ones at the high school. So I can fill you in what's been happening up there. And I heard Oak Street's a mess. So that's what I'm hearing. So,
Hold the chair of the school committee.
Yeah. Yeah. So if that's happening, something's got to be done about it. So outside of that, I think that's it.
Thank you, Councilor DeLorco. Lastly, I'll make it very quick. Obviously, I want to offer my condolences to the Bedarian family as well as the Brunelli family. And I also want to say thank you to all of the people that came to tonight's presentation. We had a packed house here. We've had a couple of them over the last few months, and it's really good to see people getting involved. And certainly we listen to your input, and we want your input, and we want you here, if you can. And my last point is April 24th, Franklin High School, joint meeting of the Franklin Town Council and the Franklin School Committee to talk about the overrides. There'll be no vote that night, mm-hmm. but what there will be is public input, an opportunity for the public to speak. If you have a concern or have a question, that's the meeting to come to. And we're having it at the auditorium because we can fit 842 people in the seats. So
how do you know that number?
Well, because they took out the first row so they could get the chorus into it. So that's why it was reduced. Okay, with that, we do have a need for executive session to review and approve minutes from March 13th, 2024, of Town Council executive session. I so declare, and we will not return to open session. So it's a roll call vote. Clerk will call the roll.
Well, I have to say something first. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for us to enter into executive session to review and approve minutes for March 13, 2024 Town Council executive session, and to not resume into regular session. It's 11 o'clock.
It's so late the clock stopped.
Exactly.
Battery's dead.
Yeah, it did. It stopped.
Look at that.
That's funny. Sheridan?
Yes.
Cormier Ledger?
Yes.
Frangillo?
He quit.
Chandler?
Yes.
Hamblin?
I guess if we have to.
Pellegrini, yes. Jones? Yes. Vice Chair? Chair?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.